Hey, y'all. I've been living in Blacksburg long enough. I feel like I can say, hey, y'all, and it ain't a problem. Yeah, working in Christiansburg. Hey, y'all. It catches on. Anybody watch the World Cup? Yes, vive la France. I'm just kidding. I didn't realize I was working. I know France won. Yeah, I expected them to win. They're a great team. That has nothing to do with what I'm going to share. But they won. All right. Cool. So we've been going through this summer talking about different ways that our view of ourselves and how God sees us is out of focus. And one thing that can really contend with all of the things that we talked about a lot is our misunderstanding of grace, right? The way God's grace is poured out on us and this idea of abundant grace. So to help us understand grace more, we're going to jump into Ephesians 4. Nope, Ephesians 2. Don't go to Ephesians 4. Go to Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 9. So in chapter 1, don't worry about chapter 1. I'm just going to share about it. In chapter 1, he actually is sharing with the church in Ephesus, and he's saying, man, I'm so happy about you guys. I'm so excited. He's talking about how God is truly blessing them. And he says, what does he say? He says, God created us to be holy and blameless. I didn't know I stole that from Morgan's talk, but I did. But God created us to be holy and blameless, right? He's praying for favor for this church. He says, I'm praying for the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of repentance. And it's super exciting. You can feel his excitement of the church as he's writing the first chapter. But then in the second chapter, it's like a sharp turn. He's like, hey, but remember you were dead in your trespasses. It's like, oh, wait, okay. You want to pray for us some more? But he says that. He's like, remember, you were dead in your trespasses. Remember, you were dead in your trespasses. Excuse me. You guys were sinners. You were living these fleshly desirable lives, going crazy, causing a ruckus. Then he says, but, and we're going to start it here at verse 4. He says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we are dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So in this verse, the word grace is actually literally translated in the Greek. It's called charis. I didn't know that because I have a deep theological past. I knew that because I had a friend named Charis, and she said her name meant grace. And I looked it up. It actually does. It means grace. But then translated back into the English, it is favor or gift, right? So then back into the scripture, it says, it is by grace or this favor or gift that you've been saved. Question. What's the gift? If you've read on past this, if you haven't, spoiler alert, it's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the gift. Jesus is the grace we receive. Jesus is the one who intercedes on our behalf. And it's through him and his sacrifices that we're saved. Jesus is the grace of God. The grace of God is the gift of Jesus Christ. So as I was writing this, I started thinking about gifts, obviously, because I'm selfish. I started thinking about gifts and then about good gifts and bad gifts. And Morgan's mom, I love her to death. She's the sweetest woman in the world. And we would always get stocking stuffers, but she would always give us Christmas pencils. Now, I apologize if Christmas pencils is your thing, not mine. And we would always just end up throwing them away or like leaving them in the stocking or something. I love you, Robin. I love you so much. But we would. We would just, you know, oh, thanks for the pencils. We'd say thanks. Then one year Morgan said, hey, we actually don't use those. Yeah. But then I started thinking about good gifts. And for some of you that don't know, I work part-time at Dick's Sporting Goods. They have some good gifts. There's some good stuff. Like, I walk around sometimes when I get bored, and there's tons of stuff. I wouldn't buy them myself because it's a little out of my price range. But if anyone were to buy me these things, I would be pumped up, especially like camping stuff. So they have like foldable bowls. First time I had any idea there was a foldable bowl. Indestructible plastic spoons. Just a lot of different gadgets. I feel like if someone were to buy me these things, immediately I'm like Bear Grylls. I'm like, I am the Bear Grylls of Virginia Tech. Just throw me outside. I'll stay alive forever. In my mind. Honestly, I feel like if someone were to buy me these things, I'd be like, sweet, thank you so much. And it would go right in my closet and I wouldn't use it for I don't know how long. Maybe once or twice. Thank you. Maybe once or twice I'd be like, all right, let's do this. We're going camping for like a day. And then, yeah, that's a good gift. This is a good gift to me, at least. But like I said, I don't think I would use it. The reality is, I think that's what we as Christians often struggle with a lot. Excuse me. We see Paul here, he's pumped up about the church in Ephesus, super excited, but then really quick to remind them the severity of their sins. Really quick. And I said, I think he's saying to the church, don't just recognize the resurrection and say thanks. Don't do it. To me, when you receive a gift, whether it's good or bad, I feel like it would look like this little video. You guys know Vine? This is my thing. We got it? Okay, no noise. But you guys say, avocado, thanks. I don't know if it's a genuine thanks, but it's just avocado. There's nothing good about it. I mean, there is lots of good things about it. But it's an avocado. You're just like, oh, thanks. And then he's probably like, okay, where's my next gift? Right? I feel like Paul is saying, don't just recognize the resurrection and say thanks for it, but respond to that. Respond to that. This is the grace that we receive, and we have to respond to it. Right? So then how do we respond to it? We respond by thanksgiving. We respond by praise. We respond with joy. Or we respond with what Curtis was sharing with us last week in Matthew 22, with loving our neighbor as ourselves, and by loving God with all of our hearts, with all of our souls, and with all of our minds. We aren't just given this grace to receive it. We're given this grace to be empowered by it and to walk in the freedom of it, right? So, all right, I'm going to take you back a couple years. Fall of 2011. Bear with me. I was playing soccer at a junior college in North Carolina. I was pretty good, just not good at school. So, man. Yeah, I was good, just not good at school. Sorry, this is good stuff. I have to stand up. The very first scrimmage of that season, I got hurt pretty severely, tore my peroneal tendon, and I was out. But it gave me an opportunity to focus on school because I said I wasn't good at school. Took 21 credits that semester, 4.0, crushed it. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's a cool part of the story. But my goal was to get back in shape. I was setting myself up to transfer out of this place, Lewisburg, North Carolina. No one knows where it is. So I was going to go somewhere else. This was at the time when insanity was like at its peak, right? The workout insanity, not just like going insane. And we were, let's go insane. No, so to warm up, you do like a lot of these like aerobic things. You do like Heismans. And I was doing Heismans and I felt my ankle tweak again. And I was like, cool, I'm fine. Scar tissue, let's work through it. I stepped into my dorm room and I could no longer walk. Couldn't put any pressure on my foot. Retore my peroneal tendon, and I was a rage monster. I mean, I was so mad at God. I was like, look, you gave me this opportunity. This is my second chance. Now I have a 4.0. I'm in the zone to set myself up to get out of this. And I truly believe you gave this to me, but why are you stripping soccer away? How can you do this to me? I was angry, so I left. I came up here to visit Morgan. And I wanted to do something fun. It was a friend's birthday party that weekend. So I went, had a couple of drinks. I left, still angry, still hurt ankle. I went down the wrong way on a one-way, stupid, don't do that. Go down the right way. I got pulled over and then eventually charged with a DUI. So this was my rock bottom. within the same day, soccer was gone. And then I had a 4.0. Future was bright. And then I had a DUI. And in my mind, canceled out the 4.0. So then what did I have left in my future? To me, nothing. Absolutely nothing. I entered into this deep time of anger and depression. I broke up with Morgan within a week. For some reason, it was her fault too. Broke up with her within a week. And this was the lowest point of my life. I pushed away anybody that wanted to help. My community was there, and I pushed them away because I was a man, and I needed to take care of myself, right? 21-year-old Reek, get it done. I couldn't, and I didn't. After 4 months of literally the worst time of my life, my court day came up, April 26, 2012. The officer that pulled me over came up to me, my parents, and he said, "You don't have to worry about a thing. It's all taken care of." And see, I knew the severity of my charges. So I knew what I was looking at, but I had no idea what that officer meant by what he said. No idea. But I went before the judge. I felt like an ant. Gave me a stiff finger, and he said, "You owe this officer your life. Drop the charges. Drop the DUI charges, at least." And he said, "You're free to go." Immediately, everything within me agreed with him. Everything within me. Now, not that I owed the officer that pulled me over. I didn't owe him my life, right? But Jesus, who sacrificed himself on behalf of my soul, I owed him my life. Everything within me agreed. You're right, I do. I owe him my all. Since then, things have been a lot different. I did the same thing when I got DUI, and then I was like, "I don't need your help, Mom." So if there's nothing that you can resonate with in my story, you know, Lord willing, none of you guys will get a DUI. But if there's one thing that you can resonate with, please take this. I deserve those charges. You guys, we deserve the charges of our sin. We deserve them fully. I was staring at a different future. I was staring at nothingness, to be honest. She's right on it. Man. But immediately I recognized what Jesus had done for me. Immediately I recognized what Jesus had done for me. You see, without grace, our lives look significantly different. Without grace, we don't see a Savior coming in to speak on our behalf. Without grace, we're dead in our sins. But with grace, we have our charges dropped. Let's get out of this. I feel like there's like a, man, this is a super sad story. We're going back to the first chapter. With grace, we have our charges dropped. Right? With grace, we experience the fullness of Christ. And with grace, our eyes begin to align with how God sees us. And we become witness to God working in our lives. And it happened. That's the truth. That happened. So when those charges were dropped, I could look in the mirror and I didn't look any differently, right? It's not like I lost 50 pounds and I like got super jacked. But everything I looked at looked differently. Everything I looked at looked differently. I realized that God didn't bring me to this school because I was a great soccer player. Surprise. I was a pretty good soccer player. God had no other plans. But it was because of what he was creating in me and what he was doing in the lives of the students around me. So one of the things that changed super drastically is something that you guys can see, and it's evident right in front of you at least once a week. The girl that I broke up with, I done married her. Boom! That's a win. Okay, that's corny. Grace. What I'm still learning in my life is that this grace, though, is abundant. To me, it was always God sprinkled like a little dash of grace, or like a cup of grace over here, like this DUI, maybe like 3 gallons of grace. But this grace is abundant. So John 1:16 says, oh my goodness, I'm also super dry mouth. Water didn't fix it.
John 1:16 says, out of his fullness we have received grace in place of grace already given. What? So on Tuesday of this week, I actually had lunch with that officer that pulled me over. You know, we talked together. We prayed together. We ate together. We shared stories of our lives. Super cool. And by the grace of God, he's here today. He's this guy right here. It's so cool to see. Like, I thought this story or this amount of grace that was poured out onto that part of my life was done. I thought that enough grace had fulfilled that part of the story, but God was like, no, I'm going to give you more grace in place of that grace that was already given. And I'm just like, oh. So on Tuesday, man, I had a day. I tell you, I had a day. It's been a week for me. But we have this grace in place of grace that is already given. Do we deserve this grace? No. Did I deserve to have those charges dropped? Absolutely not. Do I deserve to be standing in front of you today? I know what my life looked like. I'd say no. But there's grace. But our response to that is our love towards each other, our love towards God, glorifying him in the things that we do. Me sharing that story with you has nothing to do with myself and everything to do with God and what he's done in my life. Understanding grace helps us to better understand the depth of the love God has for us. It helps us to combat pride. It helps us to combat insecurity, inadequacy, and isolation. And it gives us worth, and then it leads us into community. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you, God. I am blown away the things that you've done, that I've witnessed you do in my life, and it's because of this grace that you have and the grace that you're pouring out in my life. God, I pray that as a church body, God, as individuals, that they would experience the grace that you have for them in their lives. God, that they would feel that extension of the sacrifice, but God, that it would manifest itself in a deep desire to be in a love relationship with this body, with your people. God, continue to move in and through us. And as Morgan shares next week, that we would be an extension of your grace to the people around us. God, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.